thinking to myself, why do we do that? What got, was it just me who started doing that? Or is it because someone had done it before? The pastor I grew up with, all the pastors here, every announcement, we always say good morning. And I was thinking about why.
It's about imitating, but it's not that I'm trying to imitate everyone I've ever heard. It's just something I'm naturally doing. Today's Father's Day, and everyone who meets my dad always says, man, you guys are so much alike. He came for my wedding, and all my Crown's friends met him, and they kept on being like, man, he says the same jokes as you. They're terrible. He walks the same as you. He talks the same as you, and I'm like, actually, I talk the same as him, and I walk the same as him. I have the same terrible jokes as him. For instance, this last week, he told me this good one, and I've been telling everyone. So, Ashley the other day was telling me that I had to stop acting like a flamingo. So I put my foot down. Yeah. Like I said, they're terrible. Well, even when I was a little kid, I imitated my dad. I had his cowboy hat that was way too big for me. We had the same toys. Until middle school, I even listened to the same music as him. It was Jeremy Camp and Third Day. That's all you need, right? When I got into middle school, I also started getting as big as him, as tall as him, and so I wore his same clothes. And now, even to this day, we have very similar taste in clothing. I think I have similar taste in his clothing. But and even as I'm preaching this sermon, you might notice something was pointed out to me in one of my preaching classes this last year. I have a stutter step, which means that I do this, and I back up, and then I move forward like this. And my dad, who also gives sermons, he's the head elder at the church, I noticed does the exact same thing. When he's preaching, he's doing this. And I was like, Dad, I have to break the glass for you. Because someone broke the glass for me, and now I just broke the glass for all of you, and I really hope you're not distracted the entire time by me backing up and going forward. We all have people that we imitate, and we imitate people naturally, too. Like Ashley, I imitate Ashley all the time. We've been married for a year. She's Minnesotan, so I'm saying, you betcha, and oofta, and oh, let me scoot right by you there. I'm from Montana. I didn't grow up saying those things, but I'm around her, so I imitate her. This morning's passage is Ephesians 5 and 6. We're going to focus in on the verse, on verse 1 of chapter 5. If you want to open your Bibles, we'll stay in that area. The first verse is, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. All throughout Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, Paul shows us how we can be imitators of God as his children. And it gets off into different topics, and I think it's really easy to lose sight of that's what he's talking about. And we're just going to talk through that this morning. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we search through your word this morning, that you would be with us, that you would show us what it means, that you would speak and not I. I pray that you would help us to be better imitators of you. Leaving this service in your holy precious name. Amen. So let's just go through the verse. Therefore, be imitators. Oh, wait. It says therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. So if we go back into chapter 4, just at the end of chapter 4, you're going to see a list of, hey, don't do this. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. But instead, be loving to each other. And then it stops and it's like, oh, what is this love we're talking about? It's Jesus. It's God. It's God's love that we're supposed to be imitating. So we need to be imitators of God. That's the before context. But how do we imitate God? We need to know God. And knowing God can be kind of this challenging thing and impossible thing. It's not just challenging, it's impossible. And we have two different types of attributes of God. We have the communicable attributes of God and the uncommunicable, which those are really big words. Pretty much means the ones we can know and define and imitate, and the ones we can't really know and define and imitate. These ones over here, even we don't actually really know them the way that they are with God. And that's what A.W. Tozer says in his book, Knowledge of the Holy. He actually talks about how these attributes are so big that we can't really understand them. Let's go through the attributes that A.W. Tozer lists, and then we'll go through the attributes of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And we'll just list all these and go through all of them and define all of them and get into them. Oh, wait. Did I tell you guys that you needed to bring your sleeping bags? We're going to be here for a couple weeks. Here they are. God is wise, infinite, sovereign, holy, Trinitarian, omniscient, faithful. God is love, omnipotent, self-existent, self-sufficient, just, immutable, merciful, and graceful, which are different words. And if you want to figure out how they're different words, come to School of Rock on Wednesday at 6:30. Short little plug there. He's eternal, he's good, he's omnipresent. And then the Westminster Shorter Catechism has a very similar list. It says, God is spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, wise, powerful, holy, just, good, and he's truth. We're just going to stick with the ones that Paul talks about in Ephesians 5 and 6 and shows us how we can imitate God in those ways. So we're going to talk through faithfulness, we're going to talk through wisdom, love, and holiness, and how Paul lays these out in the household and how that can expand to each of us. So we'll start with faithfulness. God fulfills his promises. If we're going to ask about an attribute of God, God is faithful. We were in Hebrews, which talks about how God's promises have been fulfilled in the new covenant. And those promises have been made all the way since the beginning. And before we were in Hebrews, we were in Jeremiah. These are series that we've done recently. And in Jeremiah, it seems like God's not going to be faithful, but he lays out these promises, and then he's faithful to keep them going. God is faithful. Remaining faithful to your family and to the body of believers is all throughout chapter 5 and 6. It's actually assumed. He doesn't say, if you stay with your wife, then you need to love her. No. He doesn't say, submit to the body of believers and stay with them. He just assumes, stay with the body of believers. And they talk about staying with the body of believers all throughout Scripture. But Paul here is like, it is clear that we need to be doing this. And if in Ephesians 5, 19 through 21, it says, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Being faithful is so essential that John, in chapter 3 of his first epistle, so 1 John chapter 3, states that if you depart from the believers, if you depart from the faith, you were never of the faith and you weren't saved. Faithfulness is that important, and that's something that we're imitating from God. God set that precedent of faithfulness that we need to imitate. Let's move on. Let's go to wisdom. God displays his wisdom in everything. I mean, we look at history and we can see how meticulously he has orchestrated everything for his glory. In Proverbs, he's constantly talking about wisdom, and he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge, which is, that Hebrew word is synonymous with wisdom. So knowledge and wisdom. God is the beginning, and God's the definer of wisdom. If he decided something shouldn't be the way it is, it would change and he would still be wise. That's the way he works. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. In Ephesians, in chapter 6 is where it really gets into wisdom. And it goes into talking about the relationship between fathers and children. It says children, in verse 1, chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents. And in verse 4, it says, fathers, don't perplex your children. There's a lot of different translations for that word. And then it says, but bring them up in the instruction of the Lord and discipline. And that's all about wisdom. It's about teaching them how to be wise. And this is something we have to imitate from God. He is wise. We must be wise. Let's move on again to the next attribute that Paul talks about. And this one is strewn throughout the entire 5th and 6th chapter of Ephesians and throughout the whole of the Bible. Love. God is love. And if I start trying to list all the verses that talk about this attribute of God, we're going to be here a really long time. Right in verse 2, so therefore be imitators of God as children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And in Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now I'm going to go to a verse that there's a good chance that you're going to blank out because you've heard it so many times. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Rich and I were just talking this morning about Abraham. Abraham, I don't know if you guys know the story, went to sacrifice his son as commanded by God, and God stopped him. But when God had to sacrifice his son, he didn't. And he did that for the world. He did that because he loves us. That love is what we need to imitate. Whew. Paul gives an example of within the household of how we need to love. In verse 25, it talks about how husbands can imitate God. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That love is something that God, from the very beginning in Genesis 1, laid out for us. He had that plan that love between a husband and a wife would imitate the love of God and the church, of Christ and the church. Furthermore, he teaches the whole church they can live in right relationship with God and each other. In Ephesians 21 through 24, right as it's finishing talking about submitting to one another, like all of us in the church submitting to one another, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. This relationship between spouses is a God-created example of how the church should relate to Christ. Not only is marriage naturally this, when you go to a wedding, you should see in that wedding the husband acting as Christ, the wife acting as the church. Not only is it naturally displayed, though, we are called to imitate this. We're called to imitate that love and that submission. This is not the only relationship through which we can imitate God. And Ephesians 5 and 6 really gets into this. It goes in 6, 5 through 9. It talks about bondservants and masters. And we really don't have that today. So let's change that a little bit. Let's talk workers and the boss. And it talks about this relationship between the two. And it says, workers, you need to treat your boss as if he was Christ. Give yourself up for them completely. And masters, bosses, you need to give yourself up for your workers and treat them as Christ treats you. Man, that's some pressure. And then again, as we talked about earlier, and it's Father's Day, so I want to hit on this point again. It says in the beginning of chapter 6, teach children to be obedient and fathers to be patient and teachers. So children and fathers imitate this too. A father is supposed to be an image. He's supposed to imitate God for his children. And his children are supposed to treat their father as if he were Christ and obey him. This imitation, as you can see, is just something that Paul is hitting over and over and over again. Finally, I want to talk about how Paul teaches us about holiness and being holy. And holy means to be set apart. It means to be different. No one like it. God, there's no one like God. He's set apart. He's holy. God is the only one who hasn't sinned. That alone shows his holiness. He is light. I really like this metaphor. It's in the first epistle of John in chapter 1. And I'm going to read that for us. It's in verses 5 and through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How do we achieve holiness? I'm leaving an awkward pause there because that is a hard question. How do we achieve holiness? Well, the closer we get to God, his light will conquer more and more of our darkness, making us more and more holy. In Ephesians 5, what do you know? It says it here too in verses 5, 8 through 9, or chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." The way to holiness is not through merely trying to be good and avoiding doing bad. The only way to holiness is through Jesus, drawing close to him with your actions. This will follow. Holiness will follow because darkness cannot last in God's light. David Platt talks about this. He says, "The key is realizing and believing that this world is not your home. If you and I are ever hope to free our lives from worldly desires, worldly thinking, worldly pleasures, worldly dreams, worldly ideals, worldly values, worldly ambitions, and worldly acclaim, then we must focus our lives on another world." It talks about, in the scriptures, it talks about the narrow road to Jesus. And the way I like to think about it is there's this world and there's the next world. There's Jesus and there's sin. And I think too often what we try to do is instead of walking along this narrow road, looking at Jesus, we look at the sin. And we try to back up from the sin. But then we go off this way because we're just looking at this as our reference and we can't keep a straight path going backwards. We go off here, and because we have no hope, we have to go back. And that's just where we always end up. Instead of looking at this, looking at the world, looking at sin, we need to look at this light, and as we get closer to this light, this darkness will get less and less and less. This is something that we can show people, because when we are in the light of God, that light shows in us. We tell that to our kids all the time. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We tell our kids this, and we need to really believe it. And now we're going to go back to my dad. My dad pointed me to Christ. He showed me love. My dad does not like hard rock. And just, I love this band named Disciple. They're this Christian rock group, and they rock really hard. I probably wouldn't like them. My dad definitely doesn't. But when a friend backed out to going to this concert with me, he was like, sure, I'll go. And he put in his earplugs. He sat in the very front with me, and we're standing next to each other, and the singer's like, jump, jump. And he's like, man, he sat through that entire concert just because he wanted to show love for me. He imitated God, and it brought me closer and closer and closer to God. It was this kind of like, oh, look, my dad, he loves me, he's wise, he's righteous. God is holy, he's loving, and he's righteous. This isn't just a call to fathers. This is a call to all of us. I need to be all of these things to my wife and to my friends. And all of us, I'm calling all of us to do that. In every relationship, every position and deed, we must be imitators of God. As I close, I want Roger to come back up, and he's going to pray us out. As God's children, walking in love, imitating Christ as he loved and gave himself up for us, we must make our lives an offering to God. We can't do this on our own strength, but through God's, by dwelling with him, through devotion and thought, we must be so far into the light, which is God, that darkness flees and light reigns in our lives and the lives of those around us. Like I imitate my father, and I've been doing this stutter step the entire sermon that I picked up from him. Like I imitate Ashley with my ooftas. Like you imitate those around you. We need to be so close to God that we can't help but imitate him. Imitate God so that those who would imitate you are pointed to God. Amen.